Here at Blue Apron, we know exactly how hectic school nights can be. That's why we created Assemble and Bake. Delicious one-pan meals that make family dinner simple. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients and put the pan in the oven to bake. Then you're free to help out with that last-minute diorama. Shop Assemble and Bake at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
What did you just say?
I can't believe it. It's hurtful. I don't want to read it. I don't want to say it.
Well, you have to.
It's hurtful. So we put a poll on Twitter. Should KMOX send the Chris and Amy show to spring training?
Okay. Obvious yes.
Obvious yes. Somebody voted no.
I bet it's Steve.
You think it's Steve?
Yeah, it's got to be Steve.
And it even says explain why, jerk.
And they didn't do it.
And they didn't explain. Wow, that's actually pretty
hurtful. Who in the hell would do something like that?
We are the flagship for the Cardinals.
Right.
And the flagship doesn't want to send the midday show to spring training because it's too expensive?
That's ridiculous.
That can't be right.
A message to 314.
How are the Cardinals going to respect us if they don't know who I am?
That's right. Maybe they'll respect us less when they meet us. They'll say, oh.
There's only one way to find out.
Ugh. That's right.
That's right.
There you go. You can look at this two different ways.
Okay.
One, we'll go and we'll get good information. We'll build good relationships. Or if you don't like us, maybe you'll hope that they hate us too. And then you can bond with the Cardinals and say, you could bond with the Cardinals and say, look, told you.
Yeah.
The Cardinals hate you. We hate you. There you go.
And Ollie can be like, oh, that stupid Amy. You could say that and everyone would go, yeah, I get it.
Yeah. Ron is watching on YouTube and says, your boss voted no.
Unbelievable.
Of course he did. We know he did.
This is hurtful.
This message here to 314-436-7900 says, the Chris and Amy show going to Florida for the Cardinals spring training will obviously need a porter. So I am volunteering my services as a porter for Chris, Amy, and Matt in exchange for KMOX covering my transportation, lodging, meals, and access to Cardinals training facilities and spring training games. Damn.
Well, he sounds like us now, a reporter.
We don't even know that we can get that
deal. We're not going to get that. Ricky in South City says, was that Steve, your boss?
Who voted no?
Who voted no.
Of course it was. Of course it was.
Yeah, if they send us to spring training, I mean, we'll probably be on the street somewhere.
At Chris Amy KMOX, go to our Twitter account, vote for us, vote yes, and then we'll present it to Steve Moore, our boss, and then see what he says. But if you do vote no, you have to tell us why you're voting no. But there should be zero no votes.
Listen,
so I'll just say that.
This guy says Amy shouldn't go to spring training because she misses too much work. That's hurtful. But that would be missing more work. But that would be missing more work if I don't go to spring training.
Hey, I had this weird thing happen. I guess it's not that weird. It's a thing that I noticed. And people do it all the time. But I was in this little shop over the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just me, a friend of mine.
Can you tell us the nature of the shop?
It was on Main Street in St. Charles.
Oh, well, you didn't have to get that specific. I just thought maybe you could just say clothes.
Well, there's a lot of
spices.
A lot of shops
oil,
in St. Charles.
Oil, olive oil.
It wasn't oil.
Cigars.
Oh, actually, no. I think there were oils. A lot of oils and smells and incense and stuff like
now,
that.
Now you've given way too much information.
Well, those are in every little
shop.
Hey,
Matt, cut this out of the show.
So we're in there just, you know, looking around. And it's us, the two of us, the gentleman who is behind the counter. And that's it. Just three people. So then another guy walks in, a potential customer. Now there's four of us in this tiny shop.
Cramped.
Yeah. And if you've been to Main Street, you kind of know what I'm talking about. There are some small shops. It's quaint. It's a very quaint street.
I like quaint.
So there are four of us in the shop. And the guy behind the counter says to the newcomer who just walked in the door, says, hey, hello, how you doing? And the guy who walked in the door said, surprisingly pretty well. Okay, so
did he have any obvious signs?
No, he just looked like a guy.
Recent distress.
No, he had a guy. It was just a guy with a jacket and shoes.
Wasn't like he walked in with his head in one of those cartoon bandages.
just like a normal man coming into a shop.
Yeah.
Surprisingly pretty well.
So there's questions.
And okay, there are questions. Yeah. Nobody said a word though.
Right.
And so, you know, we're just customers. We don't have to get involved.
Mm-mm. It would be weird if you did.
But the man clearly wanted somebody to follow up with him. Wanted somebody to say, oh, surprise. What do you mean surprisingly? Why would you not be doing well? Mm-hmm. What's going on? Is everything okay? And nobody did. And in fact, when he said surprisingly pretty well, the man behind the counter didn't say a word.
Yeah.
And
he didn't want to get in that.
Like the rest of us said, we're not getting involved in that.
No.
And then we very quickly left the store because we just did. I didn't want to know about this man's life.
This is going to come across rude. It's just that it's never like a normal person who says that.
No. I don't know. He might be.
He might be normal, but sometimes when they say surprisingly pretty well,
they're fishing.
You end up getting like absolutely verbal vomit of all sorts of information that you didn't necessarily need. And that I struggle with this because I want to be there for people. I want to be friendly. But sometimes you get absolutely ambushed by someone.
Yeah.
And I have been ambushed so many times that it's made me rather cynical.
My instinct was to get out of there right away. When I thought about it, it was, well, maybe I should have asked. What do you mean surprisingly? Even though I would have inserted myself into the conversation. And I think if he had started to tell me the story, I might have just slowly faded out the door, like not said anything back, just said, oh, that sounds really hard, okay, and then shut
up.
The door behind me. So my question is, people who fish, because this person was fishing for somebody to ask him about his day,
mm-hmm.
so he could vent, is this appropriate, is it inappropriate, especially for a stranger to do it?
You're fishing for an ear. You're fishing for an audience.
Is Main Street St. Charles the place to get it?
I think it is as good as any other place. I think on Main Street St. Charles, you have a better chance fishing for an audience of getting a bite than maybe if you were in Manhattan.
Right.
They'd say, get out of here.
This is obnoxious behavior, though, right?
Well, here's the thing. Again, I really struggle because I think it's important to be a friend, be a neighbor, listen to people, and we all need someone to talk to. All I know is sometimes it's put me in a situation where I would pay $5 billion to get out of it.
To get out of it, yeah.
Yes.
You're right. I'm
like, please, can I leave?
I just thought it was a really, do you do that? Do you fish with strangers?
No.
Do you go up to somebody you don't know and want them to ask you about your day?
No, because what I do is I turn on a radio station and an open mic and I give people my opinions for three or four hours a day.
Right.
We don't count.
But who goes, all right.
Maybe that person needs a radio show.
When somebody asks you, hey, how's it going today? You don't ever say, not so great. And here's why. My car with this thing and then my daughter.
I know.
And my uncle's been kind of a jerk lately.
Because, you know, nobody really wants to hear it.
No.
It's a nicety. It's a formality to say, hi, how are you? Fine. How are you? And to move on. Now, I will do that with friends or acquaintances. If I'm talking to someone, they go, fine. I'm like, oh, I go, fine. And I'll pry, you know, and I say pry, but I'll follow up because you don't seem okay. Is everything okay? But that's a friend. That's someone
right.
I know. You know, if they give you a perfunctory fine. But if it's a stranger and they walk into a coffee shop and they overshare, like, well, not in the group, Steve. There was a guy not in the group, Steve. We had to call him that because he would overshare. But then his actions, and he was a close talker and he was a touchy-feely guy, implied way more intimacy. And I don't even, you know, we didn't even know this guy.
Mm-hmm.
So other friends would think that this guy was part of our group because I think he was trying to insert himself into a little coffee group.
Well, do you
but
think...
But he was kind of like, he had some pretty weird stories.
Yeah, you
really
want to hear
weird
those.
Stories about strangers spending the night at his house and waking up.
Actually, I want to hear that.
Delirium with popcorn and champagne all over.
Where's this guy been?
Well, I can tell you.
Bring him in here. Now, finally, somebody with an interesting life. Do you think this man in the St. Charles Main Street shop, mm-hmm. when we did not follow up, when nobody followed up, nobody asked him, surprisingly,
he's
you're
probably
doing
bummed
well?
Out.
And we all, and when I say nobody spoke a word, I mean nobody said anything. the man behind the counter said nothing.
Yeah.
Not like, oh, cool, or anything like that. And then,
because I think you could feel the weight of it.
And then my companion and I, we just left.
Yeah.
We just walked right out the door. So this person probably felt like, wow, nobody does care about me.
I know, that's what I mean. That's a really horrible message to send.
But what do you want me to do? I don't want to get stuck in this conversation with this person.
Because like I said, I've done it. I really have. And I say it because it is something I struggle with where, oh, okay, this is why, again, unless you think, Amy, you're such a jerk. No, I'm really not. I really want to hear from people. I definitely think if you are a young woman and an older man wants to overshare, you need to be careful because... Mm-hmm. I was 17 one time, and this older man was talking kind of like fishing for me to keep asking questions.
Yeah.
Turned out he had a record. He was a sex offender, and he was super creepy, but I felt bad. Like, I'm like, okay, I need you to go away. Anyway, I mean, he didn't do anything, but I mean, that's what I mean. Like, I feel like there's those stories, or there's the stories where you just get trapped by someone who unloads a lot of really personal information.
You know what? Now that I think about it, the more time I spend... processing what this guy did. You know, screw this guy.
No, you should have said...
Yeah, no, to hell with it. You know why? Because he tried to lure us into a conversation. And how dare he do that?
Could you do something like a radio? Say, hey, man, I've got like 30 seconds, but why? You know what I mean?
Like, hey, man, 30 seconds. What's up? What's up? Hey, you have 15 seconds.
I'm running late for the airport. I got to keep walking towards the door, but why surprisingly?
I should have done that.
Because you're kind of interested, because he could have said... You know, like a country song. My wife left me. My truck broke down. My dog ran away. Or it could have been something real interesting. Like, well, the Russians found me.
A texter to the station says, as a mailman, I cannot stand it when people walk up to me to talk about the weather. Like, I don't already know what the heck the weather is like.
Well, they're just trying to be nice.
Leave your mailman alone. They've got a route. They're trying to get through it. They don't need conversation. And I'm going to... I don't know where this person's route is, but I'm going to give them permission to throw away anybody's mail who tries to talk to them.
No, don't say that. Yep. I think that's a federal crime.
Yep.
It's a federal crime. Hey, I did want to clarify. We were talking about sending the Chris and Amy show to spring training, and a texter says, I noticed Chris says they will hate us while Amy only talks about Amy.
Well, that's the truth.
There's a reason for that, and that is Ronge is a baseball guy. Ronge was like the White Sox pre and post guy for 10 years. You did play-by-play for the White Sox. Everyone in the baseball world knows who Ronge is. Ronge being there makes sense. Ronge has a great relationship with Ollie Marmol. Amy? What the heck is she doing here?
No, I think...
They're not going to like me at spring training. They're going to like you. That's why I only brought up Amy. Why would they hate you? They know you. I mean, that may be why they hate you, but...
This is a good tip.
Okay.
If you don't want anybody to give you an answer you don't want to hear, try saying, this is from a text and we appreciate it. It says, use a different greeting like, welcome, how can I help you? If you ask, how are you doing? Then you need to prepare for the answer.
Yeah.
So actually, now that I think about it even further, it's the guy behind the counter's fault. Don't ask somebody how they're doing. What's wrong with you? Are you crazy?
We have a texter who says something to this extent, and I actually did read this a few weeks ago. If someone says, you know, they're crying or having a bad day or is fishing, like, oh, surprisingly pretty well, just respond, is it because of your haircut?
What? Oh! That is terrible.
The next time you see someone crying, ask them if it's because of their haircut.
Restaurants are closing. High Point had an announcement yesterday. We'll talk more about that. High Point Drive-In, you may have heard of that. We'll talk more about that. And what is to come in St. Louis? George Mahey, dining editor of St. Louis Magazine, will join us just after 11:30. It's Chris and Amy until the Gas House Gang at 12 o'clock on KMOX.
Tonight's meal, tilapia surprise with boiled cabbage. Begin cooking steps 1 through 50 now.
Are you kidding me? Making dinner shouldn't feel like doing a 1,000-piece puzzle. With Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals, the hard part's already done. Pre-chopped ingredients, zero stress. Just assemble, bake, and enjoy. No complicated steps, no mountain of dishes. Try assemble and bake today. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Well, The texts are coming in at 314-436-7900. To your story about the guy who was fishing for an audience, the 314 says, my sarcasm says, I understand the hesitation to engage with those responding with, quote, surprisingly well, as those people probably have a bar of soap they transfer from shower to sink on the daily.
Like Pajeski does? What? Like our producer, he...
No.
Uses the same bar of soap to wash his hands shower with it.
I use the same bar of soap to in the shower that I do to wash my hands.
You ever been to a bathroom, a friend's bathroom or whatever, where the only bar of soap is in the shower?
Oh.
So then you have to, you know. You have no choice.
No, I mean,
you have a choice.
Knock on wood.
The choice is not to even use that thing.
So then what do you do?
You go
I would
to the
rather
kitchen
not wash my
soap.
Hands than reach into the shower and use the shower used
That's
soap.
Disgusting.
No, it is not.
So then what if you went Dookie?
I'll find something else.
Why can't you
what
go
you
to the
find?
Kitchen? Use dish soap.
I'll use anything else that. Other than that shower soap.
That's not a bad idea.
I wonder if it's more guys. I don't know. I feel like I haven't seen the bar of soap thing in a long time. Old people. I know some old people who had it, like great-grandparent age.
Yeah, what is with the people in the... What is with the people in decorative soaps?
The decorative hand soap?
Yeah.
You know what? That was so big in the 90s because they would have little,
not a thing anymore, right?
Little round, like stamped pastel colored soaps. You know where you could buy a lot of decorative soaps? St. Charles Main Street. They used to have
that
a lot of them.
Oh my God. I feel like every shop on. I hadn't been to Main Street in a long time, except to go to like the bars late. But it's the first time I've been to Main Street to see the little shops in a very long time. It's all soap.
It's every soap shop and is soap. Candles.
Yes, soap and candles and oils.
A lot of soap and candles and oils.
There were a lot of Christmas ornaments.
Mm-hmm.
So that was kind of cool.
The decorative bar soaps, because sometimes they would be like round and stamped with a design on top. Sometimes they'd be in the shape of something. Now, I will say this. Whole Foods people have a lot of bar soaps because there's always the table of bar soap stacked pretty high.
Yes.
With the natural, rough cut bar soap.
Yeah.
Not the smooth like Zest.
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
Yeah, like bricks almost.
Yeah.
But that you don't use for your hands.
No, that's for your body. Ron, I have no idea. Ron is watching on YouTube. You can watch the show YouTube, Facebook, Twitter. Bar soap is self-cleaning, Ron says. What are you talking about? It's not an oven.
Yeah.
Bar soap isn't, how is it self-cleaning?
And sometimes there's things on that soap.
Well, don't even. You need to not say that stuff, Matt.
I think I meant when we had this conversation a couple of weeks ago, I believe I mentioned to you the Jay Moore joke. And in case you missed it, it's a pretty good joke. And it was, and I'm paraphrasing, and he was talking about how he had a bunch of brothers and sisters and everybody when he was growing up.
Yeah.
You use the same bar of soap, right? Uh-huh. And he said, you better hope that soap is just a magical thing because think about the last place I wash and the first place you wash.
Yeah.
So, you know, and I know some families, I've heard of this before in the olden days, which is disgusting to think about, but I guess I understand it when there wasn't running water, but even when there was running water, I knew people, young kids.
Don't say it.
Mm-hmm. Who would have to shower or bathe in order and use the same water from the brother or sister before.
Okay. I'm going
to. I've heard, if you were one of those...
Well, I mean, back in the Little House on the Prairie days, like the cowboy days, yes.
There was no running water, but I mean like in the 80s and 90s.
No,
I've
never heard of that.
Yeah, so if
not,
anybody...
I mean, not in the 90s.
Yep.
1890s, yes.
No, I'm telling you. I knew people who would have to share bath water with a brother or sister when I was young, like really little. And then I heard about it in the 90s too. And I bet you it's even in the aughts. I bet there are people in the aughts who share bathwater.
Hey, we got to go to break here because we are going to welcome in George Mahey, dining editor of St. Louis Magazine, but we do have some Blues news.
Yeah.
Puce Suter, Blues forward, becomes the fourth Blue to be named to the Olympic Winter Games. Puce Suter will be joining Team Switzerland.
Okay. Congratulations.
What? Back after this.
That's like when we signed Lance Lynn. Okay.
No, people, Lance Lynn was a fan favorite. A little bit different. Hugh Suter's been here for 5 minutes. But
he's
we do congratulate. Good for him.
He's playing in the Olympics. Switzerland.
Great. And we'll root against him. So congratulations for making it to the Olympics.
You know what? You're like working with a bar of soap.
I bet people agree with me. Who cares? We're going to Switzerland? You want them to win? No, you don't. Hey, George Mahey is coming up, dining editor of St. Louis Magazine. Openings, closings, restaurants in the area. We'll tell you all about them.
When you think about meal kit companies, what do you see? Probably long, complicated recipes and subscriptions you can't escape. But with the new Blue Apron, we're doing meal delivery differently. No subscription needed. Faster, easier meals. And the same dedication to quality we've always had. Shop 100 plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
So yesterday, a post, a social media post from High Points Drive-In announcing that they are closing 3 of their 9 locations. It's a very successful burger place that most people in St. Louis know about. And that's sad news. You don't want to see any businesses close, even if the business is staying, but some of the branches are going away. You still don't want to see that. And to talk about that with us and some of the other closings and openings happening in St. Louis, George Mahey, the dining editor with St. Louis Magazine, is in studio. Hello, George.
Hi, Ronj. How you doing?
Good to see you, man. So what's going on with High Point?
Well, you know, I was as surprised as anybody to hear. I just thought that was the kind of place that, you know, hamburgers are solid, you know, pizza solid, tacos solid, good, safe businesses, relatively speaking. So I was a little bit surprised to hear about that, but not in the current economic climate. You know, when it's time to tighten your belts, these kind of things happen. And there wasn't a lot of information in the press release. So I talked to the principal owner and to the minority owner, and I said, okay, what's going on? What's the deal? And it nothing really surprised me that much. These were the underperforming units. There's still 6 left. It's not like the place has gone completely, you know, gone. But so the 3 underperforming units were closed. This will allow them to concentrate on, you know, the units that are there. And I said, so what's the plan? We're going to redo the menu. I said, this is a good point. And this is what I learned that wasn't in anybody else's story. They kind of retrenched a little bit and they went back to super basics like burgers and fries, and that's about it. We're going to take away all the sandwiches, we're going to take away these specials, we're going to take away a lot of the stuff just to concentrate on the core, you know, what we do, which is hamburgers. And they realized that was a mistake. They said there's a lot of good places that serve smash burgers in town, good smash burgers, and you have to differentiate yourself, you have to be different. So now they've decided to go back to the original concept of, you know, those fancy sandwiches and those big outrageous burgers and the stuff that was, you know, we saw all over Instagram. So there, it's kind of back to the future in a sense for these guys. And this is what the majority partner told me. And Mike Johnson, who's the minority partner, he goes, and that's really a good idea because, you know, I'm all for this because I'm the guy that created all this.
Right.
I'm the guy that started all this. These were my ideas. So he's really gung-ho about it. But I thought that was really kind of what's in the mind of the restaurant guy. It sounded like a good idea to kind of let's just slow down and go back to, you know, basics, and there aren't as many moving parts with just burgers. But now you're going to see them kind of expand their menu reach again, which I find very interesting. And they said, I said, so you guys, you know, a year ago when you formed your new corporation, you said, oh, we're going to do, I forget how many, you know, how many new High Points, and they're in with the Taco Buddha guy, and we're going to do a bunch of Taco Buddhas too. I said, so what happens? What's going to happen with all that? He goes, no, we are, you know, full bore going ahead with expansion plans. So even though they're closing these units, you're going to see more High Points and you're going to see more Taco Buddhas coming up. And I said, you know, you want to give a hint? And he said, we've got our eye on St. Charles for both concepts. And I said, how about beyond? How about regionally? And he said, you know, we're open to that. We don't have any, you know, any takers yet. But if somebody wants to talk to us about, you know, Columbia, Missouri, we're interested. So it's very interesting that they closed, but it's not like the end of the don't like sound the death knell here.
Right. And just so you know, the 3 locations that closed are closing Edwardsville, and O'Fallon, Illinois, and Baldwin, Missouri.
Right.
So those are the three that are going away. And you mentioned Mike Johnson, Sugar Fire Mike Johnson,
right.
the relationship there. So
yeah,
we've had him in a bunch of times. Really great guy.
Yeah, and the Baldwin location was a much smaller one. You know, I think these guys were so smart, and it was so cute. They called it a little high. Because it's teeny and diminutive, so I thought that was kind of cute. But
we think of the regional reach because Session Taco they opened a brand or a restaurant out in the Kansas City area.
Several,
guess it's going well for them. It's interesting about the sandwiches. I did think that with High Point that it might be a weird lane if it's just burgers because especially in an area like Baldwin, there's all the typical fast food joints, which are pretty cheap, and they've got burgers. Then there might be the slightly more expensive sit-down restaurants. So High Point was kind of straddling the two if it was just burgers.
Well, they were kind of being a little bit of something for everybody. And then they pulled back on that, and they said, you learn by making decisions like mm-hmm. this, and we made a bad one there, and we're going to go back to the original concept. So all is not, lost in the High Point world.
So a lot of
closures to talk about.
Yeah,
it's that time of year.
Yeah. So what you got?
Well, I mean, there is a place called the Wheelhouse downtown.
Yeah, we know Wheelhouse,
which was there for I think 11 years, and they just closed after their big New Year's Eve party. And they're known for kind of wild parties and wild times, right? And I haven't heard anything about that party, but I didn't hear that there were any incidents or anything, so I'm sure they went out with a bang. But that they were there for a long time, and they were known for their weekend brunches where they did they had those mimosa, all you can drink mimosas, and they did they do cocktail flights, 4 for $25 cocktails. They did a porn star martini, and no, I never asked what that was all about. So
why wouldn't you ask?
That's the first question. I just didn't go there. So anyway, a very colorful place.
Well,
very,
now they're out of business, George.
Yeah, great job, George.
Now I'll never get one. So but again, people got it confused with the Midwestern, which is their sister restaurant there also. And but it's still open.
So I know they're sister restaurants, but isn't there some competition and maybe Midwestern was taking some business away from Wheelhouse?
Possibly. And I think that a lot of the business from Wheelhouse will go to Midwestern. I should correct myself. The Midwestern is the place that has all these brunches and porn star martinis. So we still can get those there.
Yeah.
So but that's put that on your list of things to do. And these guys are kind of, like I said, they're very aggressive and very colorful. And I was looking at their social media and the first entry for January, this, with all these kind of wild partying people. Dry January never stood a chance. So welcome to the Midwestern.
Stupid idea. Dry January.
Yeah, well.
I have a quick question, and I want to get to more of the closings, but we talked about the High Point Baldwin closing.
Yep.
And we had a texter say that Baldwin location right there is not great and nothing seems to get traction. Why is it there are certain buildings that restaurant after restaurant goes into a building and every single one fails and you almost feel like it's cursed with the public?
I want to say, I've always said I don't believe in cursed locations. I believe in cursed operators. I think the right concept will work in any place, and there's been folks that have proven that correct. When Taco Buddha went into their original location, that place was a 5-time loser or 6,
really,
and they proved that you can make it happen if you've got the right thing. So I don't know about that. And as far as that place a little high, part of the reason that they did that, it was supposed to have a drive-through, and I think the original place there did have a drive-through, mm-hmm. which is kind of it's like the Holy Grail. If you got a drive-through, you're good. That's everybody likes to sit in their car and wait for food. But for I don't know the reason for this, but they opened without the drive-through. They ended up doing what I thought was, they ignored the most appealing aspect of that site. So again, hindsight is 20/20, but they should have had a drive-through.
So you did say that there were some other closings to talk about. What do we have?
So another big story this week was the Steve's Hot Dogs fountain on Delmar closing. Right. That was, you know.
And the fountain on Delmar.
On Delmar, yeah. All over the airwaves, all over the news, all over radio, all over, you know, print. And they both closed on, or they're, I guess, set to close January 10th. So we've got a few more days there. And again, this is in the Delmar Maker District, which was obviously, you know, a lot of it was decimated by the tornado. And, you know, that story's out there of a lot of those residents there have been displaced and they haven't moved back. And that's, you know, you need your core audience. You need your core neighborhood to support you. And if you're going to become a destination restaurant, that's fine. But that's a whole other. It's a little harder to pull off. You need the neighborhood to support you. So on the one hand, these guys decided to close these two units. But again, this wasn't Steve's only unit. There's several other Steve's Hot Dogs that the public can support. There is the flagship Fountain on Locust downtown, or where is that? Midtown, mm-hmm. I guess. That people can support. So don't, it's going to be okay. And, you know, and everybody goes, well, what's the deal with the Delmar Maker District? Is it going to make it? Is it going to come back? And, you know, you see things like this and go, oh boy, maybe not. Maybe this is, you know, is this the beginning of the end? And then in the next sentence, I write that Ben Peremba is who has several restaurants there and he was going to reopen. If you remember, Elia and Olio, mm-hmm. which were his two of his restaurants in Botanical Heights, he was going to reopen them in the Delmar Maker District. The tornado comes and pretty much wipes out the building that he was going to put those in. And I go, oh, that's going to be it for that. And he goes, oh, no, we're going to rebuild. And this Elia is going to be a restaurant like St. Louis has never seen, quote unquote. So he's going back, putting these two restaurants in there. He has plans for another wine bar restaurant. And he's going to make another announcement in March for yet another restaurant. So Ben's going to have like seven restaurants in this little strip of Delmar. So if anybody can pull off the revival of the Delmar Maker District single-handedly, it's going to be Ben Peremba. So, I mean, all eyes are on him. I've got, you know, fingers crossed everywhere that these places are going to take off and go in this place called Esca. If you guys have been to Esca, it's an incredible restaurant. Yeah. I mean, it was my favorite restaurant. You know, still is one of my very favorite restaurants. Was favorite restaurant of last year, maybe, and, you know, favorite till I go to another restaurant that I really like.
Yeah.
But anyway, hats off to Ben Peremba for doubling down and just putting his foot to the gas and going for it.
And to kind of like full circle, which you guys note in St. Louis Magazine, the old Elia and Olio space is a Taco Buddha now.
That's right.
Yeah, full circle, tying it all together. And it's an old, like, two-bay service station, gas station building that I think looks so cool. Not that everything has to be for the gram, but I mean, it's the Taco Buddha in that old Olio space is really cool. It's a really Instagrammable place.
And going back to Olio, it's in that service station, and the new Olio is also in a service station in the Delmar Maker District.
That's awesome.
It looks like darn near a carbon copy of. It's like Ben couldn't have asked for a better duplicate.
Oh my gosh, I'm blanking. Is it Blueprint Coffee? That's in the service station.
Yes,
in South
on Watson Road.
On Watson, that's such a cool space too.
You just gotta love those.
Yeah.
Anytime there's a converted service station,
I like that.
It's just cozy like that.
The Hill has one, right?
Yes, they do.
I forgot what that's called, but it's a wine bar, maybe.
They still got the gas pumps out in front, and it's very charming. And the other guy that's doing one is Mike Del Pietro. He's doing one in U City that was in an old three bay service station. So I hope, again, you just hope that some of those old tiles are left and, you know, maybe leave a little grease smudge around just to let somebody know it was a service station. One closing that wasn't announced and isn't horrible news is a place called Turn. Turn is a breakfast and lunch restaurant in the Grand Center district. And it's a guy named David Kirkland runs it. And, he was the guy, if you remember, that started Cafe Osage in the Central West End, and a while back. This was before Bowood by Niche. It was in that building. Anyway, David Kirkland's a very talented guy. He's been doing this place called Turn, and he's a former DJ. So Turn, you know, Turn Records, restaurant, Turn the Tables, the whole bit. Yeah. So he's got his main wall has 72 vinyl album covers that he rotates out. So every time you go in there, you might see an album cover that you didn't see before, which is kind of a cute shtick. But anyway, David says, he goes, I got good news and bad news. I'm going to close the restaurant. I go, oh man, David, I'm so sorry to hear that. He goes, it's not all bad. My wife got a great job in Little Rock, Arkansas. She's going to be a curator of a major museum down there, and we're moving to Arkansas. And that happens this summer. So the last day will be May 31st. So he's got a long, slow goodbye, he said. So we've got 5 months to go and get to turn before they close. So that's, and he said, you know, all things considered, if a restaurant can go out that way, that's the way you want to do it. He's going to have a heck of a 5 months.
Yeah, that'll be very good for him.
And everybody wins. And it's like I said, it's going to be good news. It gives the, you know, the landlord time to kind of shop the space and let's line up a new guy. So that's the way to do it if you can. And so he's going out on, you know, on his own terms.
George Mahey, dining editor for St. Louis Magazine. We never have enough time because there's always plenty to cover. We appreciate you coming in, though. Good to see you.
Anytime.
It's Chris and Amy on KMOX. Gas House Gang's coming up with Tom Ackerman and me. That will be at 12 o'clock, so we're just a few minutes away from that. We were just talking about some of the restaurants opening and closings, and High Point Drive-In still going to be around. It's not going anywhere. Yeah. Several locations, but they're closing three. And a text message here in regard to it says, their roast beef sandwich used to make me fall to my knees and my eyes roll up into my head with pleasure. I don't want you to, please do not text in smut. 314-436-7900. We're not here for your smut. You know, we want you to contribute to the conversation and not be gross about it. And if you're one of those people who likes to shower, did you read this one yet?
So a lot of people texting in about the shared bathwater.
People who likes to shower.
Yeah, that's okay. No. A lot of text. Ronge was saying he had friends who the whole family shared the bathwater.
Not the whole family. They made the kids.
How old were they?
I don't know. Younger
people
kids?
People always put multiple babies. Because my sister's 2 years older than I am. I'm pretty sure when we were 3 and 5, we would be in the bathtub. That's normal.
Okay.
Not when you're 17 and 20. So gross.
So here's one message that says, I was a child of the late 60s and youngest of three. The family shared bathwater in the family birth order. I'm grossed out by it now.
Because my grandma, who did live through the Depression, she would take a bath and she would tell me when we were little we had to share the bathwater. And I just remember being horrified.
And then Texter goes on to say, it was different times then and I was raised by wolves.
Oh, wow.
This is Big Blonde Dan.
Yes, his.
He says, I have three kids. And when they were little, we would not drain and refill after each kid. What are you made of, water? The two yes. Older shower now, but come on, it's loaded with bubbles. It's sterile. It's sterile, right?
Gross.
I don't think that just because it has bubbles, that means it's sterile.
I don't like taking a bath with myself. like I don't take
baths. Oh, yeah, when you're in your own. Ugh.
Like I
think you have to shower before you bathe.
Oh, you have to shower before you bathe. This is, I don't, okay. I shouldn't say this out loud. I have to take, like I've taken ice baths, right? Like athletes will take ice baths.
Mm-hmm.
And then you just wear your shorts and whatever into the tub. And it's my own bathtub. And maybe because it's an ice bath, it's different. But I'm telling you, I take showers. I've done an ice bath with, like, you know, running shorts on. But the whole idea of just me being in a bathtub with your butt on the bottom of,
it's like, pretty gross.
On the bath, like the butt feeling the bath is so gross to me.
This texter, born in 79, so they'd be about 46 years old, says they used the same bathwater as the older sister until they had a second bathroom and added a shower.
Ugh.
And another one says, if it were that bad to share soap with bathwater and bathwater, why didn't everyone have terrible infections?
I think they did. People lived until they were 30.
Your life expectancy back in the 1800s, like, was 15.
Yeah, in childhood, I think you had a 1 in 4 chance of making it past your first year.
That's why Joan of Arc led an entire army at 16.
They didn't have anyone else.
There was nobody else to do it. I love those old stories of people. This person was the general of the Northern Army, and they were 12. Well, yeah, because everybody died at 20.
Oh, my gosh. Robert brings up the ring around the bathtub after the water is drained.
Yeah, that's what you were sitting on. All right, Gas House Gang is coming up next. This show will be back tomorrow at 9, barring something disastrous happening between now and then, which is always possible.
Yeah.
But the show is back at 9. Anything you missed on the Odyssey app, KMOX.com, or wherever you get your podcasts. That's Amy Marks Kors. I'm Chris Ranji.